Hello and welcome to another episode of the Revenue Focus Marketer, where we discuss anything and everything related to marketing as well as data. My name is Harshi and I am your usual host. You guys already know when I'm not busy being a product manager, this is something that really makes me interested in just learning about what's happening in the industry and sort of just keeping up with the trends. And it's always great to have guest speakers that sort of enlighten me and you guys as well. We've been talking a lot about artificial intelligence, and today's episode also has a strong focus on it. From data-driven decision-making to personalized interactions at scale, AI is reshaping how business approach customer engagement, automation, and forecasting in today's dynamic marketing. So join us as we explore the transformative impact of AI, specifically on the sales process and the opportunities it presents for sales professionals and organizations alike. Today, I have a very special guest speaker with us. So please welcome Jake Dunlap. Hi, Jake.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Jake.
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining in. Just a little about Jake. Jake is an industry leader, CEO on modern sales and revenue trends. He was recognized internationally by LinkedIn as the only CEO in the latest Top Voices for Sales list in 2023. He has worked with thousands of top revenue leaders and teams globally, such as Microsoft, Splunk, NFL, and MBA. And he's worked to sort of modernize their sales organizations, driving hundreds of millions of dollars in new revenue. So we're really lucky to have you with us here today, Jake.
I love talking to marketers and about marketing, about the intersection between sales and marketing. So this should be a fun topic in particular.
Perfect. We also would love to welcome Tarun. Tarun is, again, our in-house expert, the co-founder for DigGrowth, as well as the CEO of Growth Natives. So thank you for joining in, Tarun.
Thank you, Harshi.
I sort of want to start off today's session by just trying to understand the power of personalization and how that can really happen through AI. Maybe Tarun, you can start us off.
Absolutely, would love to. So, you know, personalization has been around for a very long time. It's not a new concept. It's been, back in the 70s, companies started realizing that personalized experiences, built more loyalty. They also, built faster sales cycles. And that's what really, marketers as well as salespeople have been centered around, trying to make that customer experience more personalized. And I'm talking more about the digital world and, the kind of the modern economy, if you would say. But personalization as a concept for sales and marketing has always existed. But, with the advent of the internet, the one-to-one communication became very, very easy, be it emails, be it, the web experiences, and now the social media and everything else, that we're exposed to on a daily basis. And with that, the technology has played an amazing role in building more and more personalization in the customer's journey. A lot of web experiences can be personalized. Your email communications, your targeting of advertising, everything, there has been a quest to achieve hyper-personalization. The one difference which is going to happen and is happening as we speak is that, with the strong advent of artificial intelligence, it's going to be personalization on steroids. So, we're going to have the ability to really understand customer behavior, also be very, very predictive in their next move. And that would really empower both sales and marketing professionals in creating more personalized experiences. And obviously the tools and technology is evolving with that. So, over the next 5 years, I predict that there is going to be a massive shift in how personalization is being done and executed Over to you, Jake, for any opinions or comments.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of, it's interesting. And again, I'll talk marketing and sales here. You know, sales has always been like a level of personalization, right? Like if you start with sales was, you know, somebody showed up to an office, right? And ran a meeting and, you know, reached out and networked or met face to face at a trade show. And really what happened, you know, in call it like the mid 2010s is, we started to get away with, especially like at the top of the funnel, generating meetings with like okay templates. And that shifted a kind of a whole generation of sellers away from what you need to do from a personalization standpoint to actually generate meetings. And now we're seeing results, right? Where, you know, it's like 18% of companies hit their outbound targets last year in particular. And, you know, where AI comes in is it's this concept of, and again, I'm talking specifically about generative AI, right? And that's an important call out here is just the nuance between the two, because it's much different than what we're used to calling AI, which is really just glorified machine learning. And if this, then that's, is we can now do this level of sophistication and research on our companies and their industries and really get up to speed immediately. And then use that not in pure copy and paste format to then allow me as the person to do the last mile, you know, customization, right? And so the ability for generative AI to teach me as a rep, like, hey, what are the trends for a VP of operations and a 200 person industrial manufacturing company? And how are those trends evolved over the last 3 years so I can put together a compelling message to generate a meeting? That used to take me an hour and a half worth of research, and now I can do it with a prompt in 25 seconds. And so our ability to do high quality personalization is just at an all time high right now. And, you know, the teams that are winning right now are the teams that realize, you know, it's not about, there's kind of this fallacy that kind of has propagated in the world over the last, like the sales world in particular, 3 or 4 years, that in order for something to be scalable, it has to be automated. And that's just not how it works. Like, look at your Tesla production line. Like, there are human beings that do the quality assurance at the end that, like, there are humans in the loop in almost every major facility like that you can imagine, and things that are produced, because that's where the human can add the value. And so I think what we're seeing, the teams that are winning and thriving right now, those are the teams that are, you know, using this to harness the power of, like, holy crap, I can do all this amazing research. And then the person comes in and says, for Jake, it's this thing and it's this small thing. And I'm going to spend 2 or 3 minutes on that customization where it would have taken me, you know, 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes. So that's where we're seeing personalization come in, and how people are using generative AI to really make, you know, build trust and create relationships with it. It's not automating, it's augmenting.
Definitely. I think AI or generative AI in that sense, especially these prompts, are making it so much easier for us to really get value of our time also. Like, instead of investing much longer time in doing the backend work, it's much more easier now. How do you sort of, I think, Jake, feel about the impact that it has in these conversations and ultimately in conversions? Have you seen a difference or a shift lately?
I mean, we're still early. I think it's an important part. You know, when I talk to most revenue organizations, marketing, sales, customer success, their generative AI strategy is, I think our teams are using it. So like, we have to realize that we are at step zero of this. And most people, and the big shift, and I've tried to kind of articulate why I think that we are where we are, is, you know, this is like when Google happened, meaning like this, you know, if you've been a professional and you're a senior executive, or a frontline rep even for 5 years, but, you know, someone like me has been in the industry for 20 plus years. I am in the process of relearning the entire way that I've learned how to problem solve. So it's a much bigger trend around this, because how did I problem solve for personalization before? Well, I'd go to Google, I'd Google their company, I'd go to their website. We learned how to problem solve by giving computers broken English or other language of like 5 sentences or 5 words, because we knew if we gave it more sentences, it would just like completely be gone. And now we have to completely relearn that we need to do the opposite. We need to feed it as much insight and detail as we can, and then it just gives us the answer. And that is, it's, you know, we are used to searching for the answer and then spending hours and hours crafting the message. And now it's like, wait, I'm at V1 in 1/20th of the time. And so I think that that's where we're at in this curve, is that everybody is going to figure that, like, you will be like, that is going to be the easiest way to be replaced, is if you don't understand this. So for me, it's with so many companies that we talk to, it's like, you know, that's why we've developed kind of a series of workshops for like sales organizations and executive leadership. What is it? What are the top two use cases for you? Right. So like, I think we're very early here from a result standpoint, because I think most people are still in, I know I need to do something. As soon as I start to learn, I immediately, my brain scrambles because I'm like, wait, it can do that? And you're like, yeah, it can do that. You know? So, you know, I think we're very early to see like the results from it, but I think, you know, productivity gains, you know, our team, you know, we had our whole team together last week and brought, you know, like I said, I think we're leading the way in terms of education around this. And so we did a whole session internally for our team, and, you know, people are walking away, or at our company, we did different group sessions and they're like, my life is like going to be so easy now. Like I don't need to learn Salesforce formulas. I can literally go to ChatGPT and say, hey, here's the problem I'm trying to solve. What's the JSON code to write this formula? It's like, oh, that? Oh yeah, that's this. And so I think we're really early to the quantification of results. That's kind of a long way.
I totally agree. I mean, I think the biggest revolution since digital commerce, or like, you know, the internet, is going to be through generative AI. And for people who are fortunate enough to be old enough to have been there at that time when, you know, I remember back in 97, like e-commerce was such a new thing, and people were just trying to explore possibilities of what could be done and what is, and you know, there were a lot of experiments that were run across consumer and businesses, B2B motions. Some of them succeeded, some of them failed. But you know, the end result is that today, you know, the world depends on digital commerce for a such large part of the transactions that happen in their life every day. And I think very similarly, be it generative AI and the other components of AI, that will start adding more and more value to functions like sales, marketing, customer service. And there's, you know, the early indicators are very, very promising. You know, we've clearly seen that the ability to, you know, crunch large sets of data and come up with like meaningful insights is a huge, huge positive. Now, how that insight is used and how that insight is actually going to add more value to the business is yet to be seen. But what we know is that there are a lot of great possibilities that lie ahead.
Definitely. And would you guys happen to have any strategies that maybe, like, you know, people that are new to this concept of integrating AI into their sales process can probably use just to make the process a bit more seamless for them?
Jake mentioned that, you know, like, pick one or two areas. I think it's very, very important to, you know, take baby steps, you know, crawl, walk, and run. And you got to figure out, you know, what are the low hanging fruits and also things that could actually add a whole lot of value. Plus, what would be an easy change to manage? You know, because at the end of the day, we're going to be asking people to change behaviors. You know, how it was like taking people from, like, salespeople from spreadsheets or notes in their books to actually, like, you know, managing their data in CRM. Now, like, you know, it's like your sales motion is going to be powered by AI. So, you know, they will do things that, you know, you got to follow the path of least resistance, at least in the initial stages. And once you kind of overcome that, then I think you start solving tougher problems. I mean, Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, this is, I'll kind of take you all on my generative AI journey over the last 10 months, probably. You know, it's interesting, as I started to go deep in this, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, there's so many applications. Then your mind scrambles. And then you start to kind of, you know, I've kind of started to focus in on, like, what are the one or two things that are the easiest, candidly, for people to get started so they can kind of start their journey. And because we started the opposite, I was like, okay, great. We're going to now be able to ingest people's entire sales playbook, build custom instructions for that company and their buyer and all of this, to where now it's like, this sales team, literally, like, why would you ever have a static sales playbook ever again? or any standard operating procedures. And so we're like, yes, we ran forward. We built, you know, kind of MVP in September. We start showing it to like 20, 30 plus like senior sales leaders and CEOs. They're like, what? Like this. And so we're like, okay. So we built the product. Then we're like, wait, we need to build these workshops because people are like, I don't even know what the hell this thing can do. And like, that's too far for me. And then now where we've landed to kind of get to the point here, which is because people are so not used to the idea of like, I can feed this thing anything, is now we've developed, you know, kind of a set of, we've got 15 custom GPTs for revenue organizations where literally the name of the bot is Discovery Call Prep. And you just click it, and then we built the custom instructions on the back end to where you just copy and paste a website. Then, you know, it'll ask you the next thing. Great. Do you want me to go and analyze their press release and blog page? You're like, yes. So, you know, I what we've seen is research is one. Research and aggregating of extremely detailed industry connection points and ways to connect with your buyer personas. You can take those use cases. Again, we've built some like very specific custom GPTs like just for that use case. That is usually a really good place to start. Okay, great. How are we doing research to either get new meetings or in the sales process or to get up to speed on current customers? Great. That one to me is like, everybody hates doing it anyway. It's like, it's a very, you know, manual process. And then on the leadership side, we found kind of onboarding and training, right? Which is to say, I've got a new hire. Here's who our buyers are. Here's what our products do. And I can just put all of that in it. And I can create an infinite number of combinations for a new hire to get up to speed. Like, hey, on our product set, selling it into a CFO, create on the fly a 15 question trivia game that will help them to better understand and learn how to communicate the value of what we do, insert link to product to a CFO. So like, there's a lot of applications that are gonna allow your new hires to, especially in sales and marketing, to get up to speed exponentially faster, to where they can do better customization and personalization. So on the leadership side, training and onboarding, I think is a really easy one. And then research and simplifying research and improving the quality of it too. That's the beauty of ChatGPT. It's one of the first recent technologies that increases the quantity of things we can do and the quality of the outcomes, right? As opposed to these other things are like, we increase the quantity, but the quality stays the same or degrades. Those are the two use cases we've seen.
Definitely. And I know we talked a lot about like, you know, the benefits that we are seeing or we can anticipate to see in the future. Jake, do you think there are any specific like challenges that you are already seeing or you foresee in the near future with this implementation?
Yeah, I've talked about some of them, which is just our heads in the sand a little bit. I think sales and revenue leaders and marketing and sales leaders have outsourced their knowledge of technology for a long time to like operations people. And what I see is they're kind of doing the same thing with generative AI, that they're like, oh, this is a technology. I've got technical people for that. It's like, no, as an executive who wants to grow, build, scale, optimize your department, you have to go learn this. Mm-hmm. You have to invest the time. And so I think that for me is probably what will separate over the next 2, 3, 4 years, you know, people who are wildly successful today and stay successful from the people that are wildly successful today and their skill set becomes irrelevant because the ChatGPT can do like is, you know, and that was my realization last summer. I'm sitting there doing these use cases. I'm like, what would I say in this situation as a seasoned sales leader who's worked with thousands of companies and sales leaders and CEOs? I'm like, this isn't bad. Like, this is what like an okay leader would send. You know, sometimes it's 90%, sometimes it's 60%, but it's not bad and it's really fast. And so I just think that means leadership in particular really has to dive in and understand the art of possible, pick some of these initial use cases. But that to me is the biggest challenge. And then the pitfall is like, just don't copy and paste. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, just, you know, if you had an hour blocked out for something, it's going to make whatever your V1 is like exponentially more amazing. But copy and paste the whatever it is, and then spend the next 30 minutes making it amazing, as opposed to starting at zero. So you can't copy and paste, right? That would be my other like potential like pitfall I see with people using it in sales and marketing in particular. Jesus, it's like, guys, if it says like, "Can I assist with or this?" It's like you obviously just copied and pasted ChatGPT. Yeah. Like, it's just it's very because I'm trained to look at it, right? Because I've seen thousands of inputs and outputs. But other people, it's like, it's just bad copywriting. So those are the, I think those are the two.
I completely
frontline people.
Yeah, I discourage the use of ChatGPT for any kind of, like, you know, writing copy. I think it's great for doing research and maybe like some starter copy, but it is something
exactly.
You know, if you are going to just use it verbatim, you're going to lose your audience very quickly. So I think it's an accelerator, but in no ways it's a final product. And I think there is far better use of, you know, generative AI and AI in general, combined with machine learning, you know, in the use cases for marketing and sales. You know, one of the best things AI can do for marketing and sales is help with predictability and things like, you know, lead scoring. We recently built, in our Dig Growth product, we built a lead scoring model that is a combination of AI and ML. And, you know, the predictability is within like 5% of tolerance of, you know, what are the leads that are likely to close. And then more importantly, we did a side-by-side comparison on lead scoring in using traditional methods in marketing automation platforms. And there was a huge difference. The AI ML-based model for lead scoring was far more accurate and far more robust and ever-evolving and learning. I mean, there's no, like, you know, it's really not dependent on, like, you know, what somebody thought on a day. It's actually based on true data and how it is evolving over time and how behaviors are changing over time as well. So I think, you know, too much dependence on just like ChatGPT, because that's, you know, that's become the cornerstone of AI, but there is so much more in AI there to power your sales and marketing than just kind of, you know, using it for some fancy copy. So I think, you know, like I just tell everybody that please don't use it for copy, use it for research. And then obviously, like, you know, use the AI empowered tools that can get you better insights, can also, like, you know, guide you through, and obviously, like, you know, help you craft some of the messaging and, like, you know, the keywords and things that you need to focus on in your conversations and the next steps and the suggestive part of it. That I think is far more powerful than just copy.
Yeah, and I would, that the use case I would add too that I think is just as powerful is ideation, meaning, you know, you're stuck in a, you know, you're a marketer and you're trying to think of a new strategy. You're like, hey, I've never done this thing before. I'm a digital marketer for an econ business. We're trying to go into this vertical. These are my thoughts. This is what I'm worried about. What are two or three things I should be thinking about? And what are some typical pitfalls? Like your ability to process complex decisions. Like how many times have you sat on an idea? You're like, God, I really got to solve that, et cetera, because you need to create the mental space to do that in whiteboard. I can now skip ahead. I can like literally start that. I kind of like give ChatGPT my problems and I'm like, you know, or Gemini or Claude or, you know, whatever one you want to use. I'm like, great, here's what I'm thinking through. Like, what am I thinking of and what am I not thinking of? And it's like, these are the things. I'm like, that is really good. So it's like, there's these kernels that you'll find, and it might not be everything's perfect, but you know, you will, the brainstorming and ideation is probably one of the more underrated applications, especially for executives. I think if you're a CEO or if you're a senior executive, and you know, you're toiling with a problem, I can't stress enough, again, you're not copying and pasting the solution, but it is a great thought partner to help you.
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, you're bang on. So
definitely. And I guess one of the stressors that people are having lately is, like, even though sales is such an industry that's hugely focused on people and humans that empower it, do you think AI is sort of in place to take away certain of these jobs, or do you think, like, you know, it's not going to impact jobs, market?
Go ahead.
100, but yeah, the answer is 100% it will. Because if your job is you call it sales and you're just pushing buttons, you're like, send out an email, blah, blah, blah. I don't need you for that. Like, I can just, AI can do that. And again, you know, to the point from the conversation before, I can also then use other AI to just optimize the response rates and what's working. And like, I don't need someone who's just pushing a button. That's like marketing automation, you know, stuff. The other piece, and it's so interesting, I was listening last night, I was watching Shark Tank, and a commercial came on from an interview. It was more of an interview, like plugging something. And, you know, the woman said, you know, people will, you know, with the generative AI can't replace empathy. It can't replace. And I go, how empathetic is the last B2B salesperson you've talked to? Like, how, like, did they really listen to you? Did they really tailor the solution to what they heard? And I'm like, a lot of these salespeople really suck at empathy. And so I think, like, my point is, if you are not adding value to the conversation, and not about your product, I can go find out about your product all that I want. Like, I'll get into some wild stuff. Like, we built these custom GPTs to help buyers evaluate processes without salespeople, and it can build tables and comparisons and do it in real time. It's, if you can't add value in the equation, if you look at your job in sales and you're like, nope, I pretty much run the same demo for every person. I am not customizing or tailoring things based on nuances that I'm hearing. Those are the roles that will be replaced. Same thing with marketing. If you're creating cookie cutter marketing campaigns that, and you're focused on the results of like, great, we got a 40% open rate and a 0.25 click rate, but I don't know what it did to actually generate revenue. Same thing. AI is fantastic at that. Both generative AI and, you know, AI and machine learning. So I think there's a lot of salespeople. Now is the time where you have to really take a look at, you know, what am I doing to make sure I'm staying relevant?
That's a great point. Theron, would you like to add?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, I mean, every time there is new technologies introduced, its number one role is to make things more efficient. And whenever there is efficiency, there is loss of, like, you know, you need less resources to do more. And that's the net output. So yes, it will have impact. And to Jake's point, you know, if you are doing a very redundant, repetitive task in your job, you are the first one to be replaced by technology. If you're adding value in the process and I'm in a better place or you know, better positioned to take advantage of the technology that is coming, that actually, like, you know, would separate you from the crowd and make you outrageously successful. So, you know, for all the marketers and sales professionals out there, the one thing I would say is that they must embrace, you know, technology. They must embrace the new wave of technology, which is AI and ML, and they should be experimenting with how these tools can make them more efficient so that they don't become redundant down the line.
Definitely. And the I guess the technology industry in general is ever so evolving. So how do you guys personally sort of stay up to date with the latest trends and what's really happening? Like, are you utilizing AI for that as well? Or what's really working for you both?
I mean, I can go first, and I would say that, you know, I mean, as the CEO of a digital transformation company, and now the founder CEO of a you know, marketing analytics and funnel analytics platform, I always you know, push my teams before I push myself to start embracing AI. I mean, the moment ChatGPT was launched, I was pushing every team, be it our marketing automation or, you know, our Salesforce practice or analytics practice. I was like, I want to see how we can use AI in improving the service that we're offering today. And you know what, the natural process of it was that I started getting a lot of ideas back from the teams. And then I would go research into those, like, you know, for example, like, you know, the design team wants to use a certain tool for, you know, an AI-based tool. They, you know, the marketing automation folks are talking about, like, you know, what Marketo is doing, what Adobe is doing in their world, and how Salesforce is embracing AI and how we need to kind of build services around those capabilities. So that really kind of, you know, for me, that was like a catalyst. And obviously, like, you know, to Jake's point earlier, like you have to get into the weeds with it. You just can't say, you know, yeah, let's go do AI. So you know, I personally started using some of these tools, be it ChatGPT or, you know, the components within Salesforce as they were kind of building those out, or in the Adobe stack, even like HubSpot launched a, you know, the AI version. So, you know, really embracing these tools, playing around with them, and making practical use of it. I think that's number one. And obviously, like, you know, reading about it, and you know, I mean, we're recording a podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts as well. So, you know, immerse yourself. I would say that's like the best way. And if you do have a team or like a group that you can influence, push them to start adopting, you know, some of the new things, and you will see like how that will rub off you very, very quickly.
That's great advice. How about you, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, again, I'll kind of separate out AI and generative AI. I think I take a very similar approach on like some of the like new emerging technologies that our clients could utilize, right? Like push it down to my team, et cetera. With ChatGPT, I mean, I had a very specific conversation with a very senior sales leader that I'm friends with, and we're having pizza and a beer. And we started talking about like what's possible. He's like, dude, well, if this is possible, this is possible. This is possible, this is possible. And then we started going down this rabbit hole. And 2 weeks later, I fired myself as CEO and canceled all my meetings for a week and literally just used ChatGPT and started to test the use cases, what can work. And for me, I enjoy the configure, like the finding out. And for me, if I wasn't in it every day testing the limits of it, I wouldn't have any idea what's possible. And I would just, again, this goes back to my advice from before. There's certain times in life when the answer is, I need to go do this myself and figure this thing out. And that is my journey with ChatGPT. And so I'm creating custom GPTs. I'm stretching the length of what's possible because I have to understand everybody is at the same zero. There are very, very, very few experts, and the chances that they're going to be in my organization or your organization are, you're going to have a couple of people that really have tested the boundaries of what it's possible for. Last night, I had a token so long, like ChatGPT got tired. It literally is like, I can't produce answers anymore. I hit like 20, I think it's 20,000 tokens. Like Jim and I can go to 1,000,000. And like you, without understanding its thresholds and what's possible and how it's evolving, at least for me as a CEO, I feel I have to, because if I don't, they can get the, you know, that I will just continue to build very manual things, or my team will, because my team doesn't know how to use, like, we don't know how to use this. This is so different than how we solve problems. So I take a much more hands-on approach. Like I just feel it's critical.
I think, I mean, that's it's interesting. When ChatGPT first came out, me and a friend of mine, we decided to write a movie script using it. And, you know, we basically spent hours trying to refine the movie script and, you know, add nuances, and it was really fun and a lot of learning in terms of, you know, what's possible. So you just gotta, there's no shortcut to it. You just gotta immerse yourself, and you have to push people around you to immerse themselves into it as well.
And now rewrite the script now with ChatGPT 4, Gemini 1.5. Like that is the other part of this. Like if you have seen Sora, like we haven't even taught Sora, creates movies from text that are beyond realistic. There's a world we're entering where your favorite book will never end. Your favorite movie will never end. Like we can write our own, and the movie will be tailored to you because you like a protagonist this certain way. Like this is the world we're entering. And so like, you know, our brains are used to slower adaptation of technology, and that's not what's happening. And so I'm like, if you are not using this every day, week testing, you don't have a choice, because what you thought you learned 4 months ago is completely irrelevant. I did the course for LinkedIn Learning on ChatGPT for Sales in September. I look at it now and I laugh, right? I'm actually doing another one, like a follow-on next week. And that was, you know, 5 months ago. So I just, this pace of evolution of these tools – is not, you know, search engine got better and better over years, and that is not what's happening now. This technology is getting so much better, so much faster, that like the only thing you can do is make sure you have you're always staying up to speed,
definitely
on top of your day job, right? Which is the fun part.
yeah, making time for it.
I think this was such an interesting session, and I don't know, it definitely keeps me and left me in a way where I'm so excited for what's to come next, just to experience more things. I know, like, we talked a lot about how sales and marketing will be impacted and is being impacted as we speak, but also for, like, you know, the different aspects of life that are getting impacted by technology, and the pace of this impact is going to be huge. So I just want to thank you both so much today for taking the time to do this session with us. Any, like, you know, key takeaways that you guys might have for our listeners today?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that we both mentioned, which was this idea of pushing down the knowledge, you know, to your team and getting versed in it yourself. I think, you know, whether you're on the front lines or whether you're an executive, you gaining some, you know, you getting benchmarks and you making consistent time, but also understand, unlike maybe other technologies and AI in general, it's going to be your job as a leader to kind of force your teams to get versed on these things. Hey, go figure this out. You know, we're seeing this in private equity partners. They're literally saying, in the next 3 months, I want to see your generative AI strategy and your AI strategy in general. So I think the takeaway, hopefully, from some of the things we talked about is like this combination of, like, you know, if you're, especially if you're in leadership, you're going to have to push down some of this learning as a part of it. I think that was a big takeaway, I think, that we both, you know, hit on. And also the idea that it can get you to a certain point, but it's not going to do it for you most of the time, right? And whether, you know, especially around like copywriting, where, again, it can be a great starter for you, but man, you go and put that extra 30-40% on it, you're just putting out much better things than if you started from scratch. So I think it's the idea of, you know, understanding where the limits are today, might be different in 6 months, and making sure that you're really not just, you know, there comes a point when playing around with it and yeah, we need to do something, becomes like, no, we have to do something. And, you know, hopefully people walk away being like, okay, I'm going to try something, as, you know, Taryn mentioned, like one thing. So those are some of my takeaways.
That's awesome. Any last words?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, and we've said it all during the chat, but, you know, the biggest advantage it gives you is the ability to research a very, very large set of data and trends and give you, like, you know, insights. So that's something that, you know, everybody has to be ready to embrace. The second thing is really, like, you know, it can really prompt you in the right direction. Lastly, I think that we started with that, you know, like the personalization aspect. I think that is going to change and evolve dramatically. So, you know, think about those things in your day life, you know, professionally. You know, what would you want this amazing technology to do for you, versus others telling you, like, you know, this is what it can do. I think, you know, you are the closest to your brand. You're the closest to your business.
Yeah, probably.
You know, you have to, you know, how they, you know, the phrase about, like, you know, branding from the inside. I think it has to be, like, you know, AI from the inside. You know, look at your entire customer experience, you know, from the point of when you first reaching out to them or they're reaching out to you, all the way to them, you know, throughout the life cycle of that customer, and see, you know, what are those points of influx where generative AI or AI technology in general can be useful. And I think that's
focus on, yeah, two follow-ups that just kind of sparked for me that I think are really important is look for the behind the scenes processes first versus the customer interaction pieces. Not that you shouldn't, or like think about how you can get people educated with it. But I think a lot of times when people, they go back to what I said before, they're like, oh, we could use AI to replace you know, this call or something. And you're like, no, please, no, just focus on some of those like workflow details. And then the other thing I was going to say that is like beyond super tactical, but I think important, if you listen to this, like Hershey, and you're like, I'm excited to do something, is if the quality of answers that you're getting are not good, it's because your prompts suck. And mm-hmm. don't give up. Like it takes time to get good at this. And so if you're getting answers that aren't great, understand you just need to be more detailed. Give more detail. And again, always think it's not the AI's fault usually, it's the prompt. And I think yeah. anyone starting their journey really needs to take that, because the amount of people I see, yeah, I've messed around with it and it was okay. And mm-hmm. I'm like, because you typed a Google search into it. You typed, tell me about this thing, and you gave it seven things and expected to read your mind for the rest. So just, yeah. it's a really important tactical call out when you begin your generative AI, mm-hmm. AI journey in particular.
And it's conversational for a reason, right? So you can keep adding more and more to it to get the ideal results that you want.
Exactly.
I also love how you, I think Jake mentioned about the ideation aspect. I think that's huge, not just for marketing and sales, but like instead of like, you know, having certain conversations just in your brain and trying to figure things out, this can really like, you know, prompt certain answers for you that can make your life much easier in any aspect that you're dealing with, especially as a leader. I know that isn't a position that's like, you know, you just handle one sort of a problem every single day. You have such dynamic.
Every day I'm like, yeah. I've got this meeting coming up. I've got an idea of what it should be. Mm-hmm. Give me three reasons why this meeting's going to go south. It's like, I'm like, that is good.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. So thank you so much, guys, once again. It was a great session for me. I know I learned a lot, and I hope our listeners did too. So thank you.
Thank you, Hershey, for hosting such a wonderful session. And Jake, it was great having you on.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.